Okay, we're beginning here, five lines up from the bottom of Samach Bet Amud Bet. The Gemara is discussing the Klal Uprat Uchlau that it learned from Alko Dovar Pesha, and the Prat, which is Ma Prat Mifurash Dovar Mitaltel B'Gufo Mamon, Afko Dovar Mitaltel B'Gufo Mamon. Gemara says that there's another common denominator between the items here that should have become a qualification for the Pratim as to what you would include. Ma Prat Mifurash Dovar Shenivlato Mitameh B'Magom Masah. Over here, the items that are mentioned in the Pasuk that are Pratim also share this common denominator, which is that when they die and they are in Nevela, that Nevela is Mitameh, not only with contact, but also if you carry it, Bimasa. So too, the only thing you should include are other animals that have that similar Tuma. And what does that come to exclude? It comes to include the case of Olafot Lo. Birds would not be that case. When it says, can you say such a thing that that's a common denominator here? Because that works well for three of the items, which is the shor, the seh, and the chamor. But there's also a fourth item, which is the salma. So that's what Gemara Matzid Amart Halki Vash Salmaktiv. Doesn't the pasuk say salma? Amrei ana bebalei chayim kamin, and I'm speaking about the livestock, the animate objects that are in the pasuk. Ema bebalei chayim, the common denominator between the livestock that is mentioned in the pasuk is davar shenivlato mitameh b'magam asah in. So that's what I would have thought. Because we look at each independent item as if it's its own klal uprat uchlal. I mean that we don't just say since the four items are mentioned in the pasuk, we therefore would say that you have to qualify by being common denominator between all four items, but we rather segregate each one out, and that means that balei chayim, all the livestock over here, we will bring them together to create a prat by which we will determine what is ke'ein ha-prat over here. And that would mean that you have shor, seh, and chamor, and the common denominator is that they are mitamei ben vela b'maga u'masa aval ofot lo, which would be to the exclusion of ofot. Now Tosfot over here mentions what is so unique here that they say that when you have a klal prat uchlal and you have numerous pratim, you have a number of detailed items there, that we say, oh, each one is a klal prat uchlal by itself. He says, "Vim tomar v'alakaman gad be'ev natata kesef tashin kulu prati v'achat." We learn all the pratim together as one block. Who, why over here, or what over here makes one change that or see that differently? He says, "V'yesh lamar kevin dichtiv al kol prato kichtiv al shor al chamor al seh al salma." The word "al" appears four separate times. Shmaminam the midrash kochad v'chad prato be'apin avshei. Comes to teach you that each one independently you're going to learn. Inami, al korchach, itna the midrash kochad prat bapin avshelum, ait ofot, tilachi, lishtok mikulu prate, vichtuv somaluchude vitulo. Or the reason is that if you think that these items are all one block, then just write salma, and salma would include everything. It include balei chayim, enim balei chayim, and you wouldn't be bound by any of these pratim, it would just be salma, includes everything. So if you don't think that, if you don't think that each one is separate, then just write one item. The fact that you wrote each one of them out tells you that there's something meaningful or significant in each one of these items in the klal uprat uchlal. So the Gemara says, "Im kein nichtov rachmana chad prato." If you are right that it's coming to exclude an oath, then you just need one of these items. You don't need all three of them. Hey nichtov rachmana. Which one of these three items should the Torah write? Ikatav rachmana shur. Had the Torah written the word shur only, hava mina karev legabim izbech in shin karev legabim izbech lo. That only if you can be brought on Mizbeach, meaning a behemah Torah that goes on the Mizbeach, then you would be included. If you do not go on the Mizbeach, then you would not be included. Bikatav Rachmanat Chamor, had the Torah only specified Chamor, hava mina kadosh bibechora in, she'en kadosh bibechora lo. Only if you are kadosh, or you have the requirement that the firstborn of your species is brought on the Mizbeach, or is kadosh bibechora, then you are part of this klal uprat uchlal. But if not, you do not share that common denominator with the pratim that are here, then you would not be included in the din of kefel. Therefore, it wrote shor and chamor, and as Rashi says over here, that had you just written the word chamor, you would have thought it has to be similar to it in three ways, which means that it is a balei chayim bibechora v'nivlato mitam'a. So that would include all items, but it would exclude a tzvi and ayal, because they only have a common denominator with it in two items. Therefore, I wrote the word shor, dim enu inyan lo, if it's not necessary for itself, enu inyan lo she'enu kadosh b'bechora, to teach you that even something not kadosh b'bechora, dedami miyat b'tarte l'prata, at least have two issues that are common, or a common denominator with the prat balei chayim v'nivlato mitameh ulolam ofot lo. But then you would exclude ofot. So that's what the Gemara says over here. That it specified shor. If it was just shor, then I would have thought that only karev the gam izbeach is included. If it just wrote chamor, I would have thought only things that are kadosh b'bechora. So therefore, it wrote shor v'chamor. What's necessity for said then? To include ofot. So if you had just written chamor, the unique aspect of a chamor is that it is a behemat me'ad, it is chayav bebechora. And so therefore, if you just written chamor, you would think only animals that are chayav and bechor would be included. Along comes the word shor to teach you that's not the case, because shor is also chayav and bechor. So then I wouldn't have to write shor, elein came, it's im'enu inyan lebechor, to teach you that bechor is not important, but we're including even their other items. But there's still a common denominator here between shor and chamor, which is the fact that, number one, they are behemot, livestock, live animals, balei chayim, and that they are metamei tumat nevela. So along comes the word seh, which is also extraneous, and a seh is also chayav bechorah. And then unnecessary to mention over here. And it's also mitamei tuma bin vela. So then it's completely unnecessary to mention here because you could have included it from shor chamor. So enu inyan leset, neil inyan of. Or says, emalatuya ofot tihorim. Maybe it only includes ofot that are ksherim. Dumya de set. Similar to a set. Dimitamei begadim a beta blia. Because kosher birds, if you eat the nevela of a kosher bird, when you swallow it, you are mitamei, your bigadim become tamei. Aval ofot tmeim, but ofot tmeim meaning non-kosher birds, lebelu tuma, that have no tuma whatsoever, delo mitamei bigadim abet abliyat, they don't even have that one unique side of tuma that a of tahor has, lo, that they should not be included. It says, kol ribuyehu. The word kol is a ribuy. So, we've seen before that there are different methods of limud. There's the limud of klalu pratuklal. And there's a limud of ribuy, miut, uribuy. So the Gemara over here is suggesting that the word kol that appears over here, and that's because it says, akol dvar pesha, al shor, al chamor, al seh, al sama, al kol, aveda, makes this into a ribuy, miut, and ribuy, rather than a klal, uprat, uchlal. Now, generally, these are two different schools of thought. The way that the Balei Tosafot noted before is that even according to the one who normally learns klal, uprat, uchlal, over here, because of the way it's phrased, or because of the extraneous language that's brought over here, we would say that you'd be doreshed as a riboy, miut, uriboy. And Tosfa goes as far as to say that when the Gemara before said it was a klalu pratuchlal, it didn't really mean it was a klalu pratuchlal. It really meant it was a riboy, miut, uriboy, or a riboy. It just uses the language that's normally found in these types of limudim. And it called it a klalu pratuchlal, even though it's not really a klalu pratuchlal. So now the Gemara says, "V'ho'echa dichtiv kol ribuyehu." Is it really true that everywhere you use the word kol, then you darshin the psukim as a ribuy miut uribuy rather than a klat uprat uchlau? V'ha gabe maser by maser sheni, it says dichtiv v'natata kesef b'chol asher taven nafshecha, says that you will spend the money of the maser sheni in any way that you please. That's the klal. Then it specifies what those ways are that you please. Bakar, ubetzon, ubiyayin, ubeshechar, prat. It enumerates those specific items of bakar, tzon, yayin, and shechar. And then the pasuk continues afterwards and says, v'chol asher teshal nafshecha, which is chazar v'kalal. So now you have a klal, uprat, uchlal. And from that we learn, ki eyatadan elokeina prat, that you only include things that are similar to the prat. Ma prat mifurash pri mi pri, bigdule karka. The common denominator between these items is that they are pri mi pri, meaning that they have an ability to self-reproduce, whether it's fruits which have their seed embedded inside of them, or whether it's animals that can reproduce themselves. And gidule karka, they are produce of the land. Now here, the use of gidule karka is much looser definition than in normal. Generally, gedulei karka means something that literally grows from the land, grows from the ground. Over here, gedulei karka includes animals, which obviously don't grow from the ground, but their primary sustenance comes from the ground. Af kol, pri mi pri, gedulei karka. So too, anything that fits into those categories will be included in the items that you're allowed to buy or purchase with your ma'ot, ma'aser sheni. And what we learn from that, primi pri, comes to exclude mayim, melach, water, salt, kmehim, pitriot, fungi, and gedulei karka comes to exclude dagim, fish, which whose primary sustenance does not come from the land, but rather from the water. So those are the items that are excluded by this. Amre, bakol klala, kol ribuyahu. Now we'll make a distinction that in the case by Meisr Sheni, it says, v'natata keseh bechol asher titave nafshecha. And then it says at the end of it, u'bechol asher tishalcha nafshecha. So the word here is not kol, but rather bechol. Whereas over here, by the case of kefel, it says, al kol davar pesha, al kol aveda. So it uses the word kol without the bet in front of it. So I will say, it's bechol is a klal u'pratu klal. Kol is a riboy hu, which is a riboy miut uriboy. Where it says vibay dema, another way to look at it is kol klolu enochanami. Kol and bikol are both klalu pratu klal. Miu, kol de hocho riboy hu. But it's exceptional over here that the word kol means a riboy miut uriboy. Michde tiv mi kara, because over here it says a klalu pratu klal at the beginning of the psukim. Dichtiv, because this parshia of Shomer Chinam opens in the following manner, which is Ki Dein Ish El Re'ehu, so that is a klal. Kesef O Kelim, which is a prat. Lishmor, that is Vadar V'chlal. V'yisach Adatcha Hay Akol Davar Pesha Nami L'kalu Pratu Chlal Hu Da'ata. If you think that later on in those psukim, when it says Akol Davar Pesha, that's also coming to say klal upratu chlal, why does it have a separate klalu pratu chlal? Have them included together. Have them say the same thing. Because it says, "Kitein ish areo kesef kelim lishmor v'ganav mibet eish imimatzei ganav yishalem shnayim." So there it also talks about kefil. In the end, we learn from that the individuals who take a shvuah as a shomer chinam, for what items do they take a shvuah? So that's what that klal u'pratu chlal comes to teach us. And the second one comes to teach us about kefil. But if the second one was similar to the first one, and it was to be learnt like a klal u'pratu chlal, just like the first one, then you should have consolidated and put them together. So then why do you have this? I'll call them a peshel amalish, I mean, not ribuyuhu, that's a ribuy miyut ribuy, and not a klal u'pratu chlal. Now remember, the way that a klal u'pratu chlal works is that ke'ena prat. It means that you include things that are similar in nature to the common denominator of the pratim that are mentioned. And that's what it means, kalu pratu chlal. We've demonstrated that throughout this amud. Riboy miutu riboy, riba hakol. You include everything. The miutim that are there, each one specifies a particular item that it excludes. So if you learn it as riboy miutu riboy, it's not something that has a common denominator or shares common traits with the pratim, but rather, everything is included, with the exception of one item from each prat. So that means that here we have four pratim, we have Shor, Seh, Chamor, and Salma. Each one of those items will exclude a particular item. And that's what the Gemara says here. Hashad amart kol ribuye. Now that you say kol is a ribuy, kol hane prate lamali. What do each of these individual items, these pratim, teach us? Chadim mute karka. One comes to teach you not karka. Chadim mute abadim. One comes to exclude avadim, and even though before we learned that avadim ukshuda karkot, that will not suffice over here in the case of kol, which is a riboy and mirabet a kol, there you need a specific miut for every item that you're going to leave out because of the fact that the kol is mirabet everything. V'chadim mute shtarot, one of them comes to exclude shtarot, salma limute devar shenu misuyam, and salma comes to exclude things that do not have simanim, that doesn't have an identifiable marking on it that clearly identifies it or attributes it to the ownership of the Baal of the item. The Baal Tosafot are a little bit circumspect about Rashi's explanation about Davar Misuyam that means something as a Siman, because why is that relevant over here to our case of the Shomer? So he brings, first of all, from the Riva, that it means Kigon, the Mishnah in Shavuot that says that you only take a Shavuah when a person specifies an exact amount, but not when they give you a general statement about how much was given over here. For instance, they say, I gave you a house full of items, or I gave you a box full of this. That's not sufficient grounds for a shvuah, because there's no exactitude to the measurement of the item that you're making a claim on. Or Tosfot offers the possibility that it refers to, it has to be a whole item. That if a person makes a claim for half an item, that's not included in this parshia. In defense of Rashi, it seems that the Meiri indicates that the case here might be a case of an aveda that was found, and the person is toin tanat ganav. That toin tanat ganav is only meaningful if it was a davar misuyam, if it was in a davar that had simanim, which he's obligated to return. But if it's an item that did not have simanim, and therefore he's no obligation to return it, when he takes a shvua, even if it's a false shvua, the gabei negneva, since he had no obligation to return it, he's not chayiv kefil, he's found to be a ganav. Though the Meiri does qualify that and say that that is only applicable to the din of shvua, but has nothing to do with gneva or to tashlume kefil, because neither of those items have a requirement of simanim, and therefore if someone steals something that doesn't have a siman, they're still chayiv kefil. Or if someone steals such an item, they do have to return it. So there is a requirement of hashavat gneva, even though exempt from paying kefil in the case of a shvua. Now, ironically, in the end, through the ribui mitu ribui, we end up being memayit the same items that we were memayit by a klal upratu klal, which is that we exclude karkaot, shtarot, and avadim. But we have the benefit here now of including everything, meaning including ofot, and we don't have to worry about ofot or any other items that would have been excluded. Al kol aveda. And then what do you do with the al kol aveda? Look at the Rabbi Chiya ba'aba. Rabbi Chiya ba'aba, Amar Rabbi Chiya ba'aba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, atuain tanat ganav ba'aveda. Someone who is toain gneva by an aveda, meaning that he found something, and the owner of the item comes to collect it from him and says, please return the aveda to me. He says, you know what? I did find your aveda, but it was stolen from me. Then Edim come and tell us that it wasn't stolen from him, but rather he took it for himself. So from that we learn that by Tuein Tanat Ganav, by an aveda, Mishalem Tashlume Kefel, Shinemar, Alkol Aveda Asher Yomar. So there you learn out from Alkol Aveda. So there's what you learn from all of these Miutim and Ribuim over here. Gemara says, Nanotam. We have a Mishnah. Heichan pikdoni. Person comes to the Shomer and says, where is the item I deposited with you? Amalei Avat says it was lost. Mashbiacha ani says, I want you to take a shvua to that effect, or I'm telling you, take a shvua to that effect. Vamar amein. And the Shomer answers amein in the affirmative. I accept, I take a shvua. Vaidim eidim oto shachalo. And the Edim come and testify that he actually ate it. Mishalem et hakeren. He just pays back the principal amount. Hodel piatzmo. If we don't have Edim that tells us this, but rather he admits himself that he took it. Mishalem keren v'chomesh v'asham. Then he pays the keren plus a fifth on top of that, which is really 1/4, is 25%. And in asham, he brings a korban asham gzelot, which is that if you take a shvua, and by your own admission, you tell us that you lied in that shvua, in the case here of a pikadon as a shomer, you bring in asham gzelot. So that's the first part of this Mishnah. Heichan pikdoni. Here's the second scenario. He says, where is the item I deposited with you? Amalo nignaf. Says it was stolen. Mashbiachani. Says, I want you to take a shvua to that effect. Vamarameini responds in the affirmative. Yes. Ve'edim ve'edim otoshi ganvo. And then the edim testified that he himself stole it. V'shalim tashlume kefel. Over there he pays kefel. Hodem atzmo, if he admits to this wrongdoing of his own volition, v'shalim keren v'chomesh v'asham. Then he pays keren v'chomesh and an asham, similar to what we saw before, that when if it's by your own admission, you pay a keren v'chomesh and you bring an asham gzelot, even though that's not written in the parshia in Vayikra, but the parallel parsha of gzelot that is written in Parshat Naso by the Gezel Ager, it says there, v'hit vadu et chatatam, that they admit to their iniquity, to their wrongdoing. And so therefore we learn from that, that only through by your own admission can you b'chayav a korban in this case. And the chomesh and the asham are correlated or connected together. So only if you are chayav in the korban, chomesh, and only if you're chayav in the chomesh, you're chayav in the korban. Tell us what over here says, the chiddush in the two cases here. The first case is avad, is a case where he ate it. So despite the fact that it's no longer around, I mean it's consumed, it's gone, he still doesn't pay kefel, because he was toein tanat avad. And Sefer, where he's talking Tanakh Nignav, even though it's still extant, he has to pay Kefa. So those are the two scenarios here, meaning that they give you the extremes in each case. In the case of Aveda, it's gone now, because he ate it. Nevertheless, he's only Chayav Karen. On the other hand, by the Kefel, where it's still extant, he is Chayav Kefel, because he was Toin Tanat Ganav. Tani Miha. But here we see from these Mishnayot, but Toin Tanat Ganav, the Mishalem Teshlume Kefel. If a person makes a claim of Gneva in order to protect themselves from liability as a Shomer, that they pay Kefel. Aval, but Toin Tanat Avad. But in the case where he claims that it was lost, lo mishalem tashlume kefel, you don't pay double. Vafilu toein tanat ganav bishvuahu demishalem. And even when you're toein tanat ganav, that's only if you do it under the auspices of a shvuah, demishalem tashlume kefel. Aval shalom bishvuah, if he says that it was stolen, even though he's not telling the truth, and even though he's found to be the thief, he still doesn't pay kefel because he never took a shvuah. Eino mishalem tashlume kefel. Does not pay Teshlume Kefel. Earlier on, we saw back in the Gemara that the reason that you might have to pay Kefel by Toin Tanat Ganav, according to Rashi, is because of the fact that you took a false Shvuah. That is actually a Knas. That is the penalty to you. The fact that you took a false Shvuah, that's actually what generates the Kefel. Over here, the Rambam disagrees and says the reason that you're Chayav Kefel is because you are a Ganav. When you're Toin Tanat Ganav, you're found. In the end, you are a ganav, and that's what makes you chayev the kefel. On the other hand, Rashi, back on Nun Zayin Amud Bet, says, the reason that you are chayev kefel by Toin Tanat Ganav is, Hilkach knoso mishum shvuahu dekansei rachmono. It's a knas min haTorah for the false shvuah that you pay kefel in this case of Toin Tanat Ganav. So the Gemara says, v'nahani mila, how do you know this? Where do you learn this from? V'tan Rabbanan, imi matzei haganav, it says in the Pasuk, if the Ganav is found, between Tanat Ganav, Akatub Medaber. The Pasuk speaking about someone who claims through a claim of Gneva to make himself Patur as a Shomer. Ataomer between Tanat Ganav, Oinel Beganav Atzmo. How do you know it's speaking about someone who's making a claim as a Shomer that it was stolen rather than simply it is the Ganav himself? Kusho Omer in the subsequent Pasuk when it says, Im Lohi Matzea Ganav, between Tanat Ganav, Akatub Medaber. That clearly is talking about Tuain Tanat Ganav. And therefore, since the subsequent pasuk is talking about Toin Tanat Ganav, the first pasuk as well is talking about Toin Tanat Ganav. Tani Idach, we have another bright, and then I'll explain this. Imi Matzea Ganav, Beganav Atzmo Akativ Medaber. It's speaking about a Ganav. This is arguing on the previous bright, and saying that Imi Matzea Ganav is speaking about a real theft, and a real thief, not a Shomer who's making a claim of theft. Ata Omer, Beganav Atzmo, and all but Toin Tanat Ganav. Shomer im lo imatzea ganav. In the subsequent pasuk, when it says im matzea ganav, already Toin Tanat Ganav amur. The psukim already deal with the Shomer is making a claim of Gneva. How many mekayim? What do I do with the pasuk? Im imatzea ganav. Beganav Atzmo akatub medaber. There, the pasuk speaking about Ganav himself. So now, what you have here are two psukim in a row by a Shomer Chinam. By Shomer Chinam, it says, ki iten ish oreo kesef o kelim lishmor. Vigunav mi beit ha'ish, and they were stolen. Imi matzea ganav, yishalem shnayim. If the thief is found, he will pay kefel. That ganav, it's not clear, imi matzea ganav is referring to a third-party thief. Or zi matzea ganav means that the shomer himself is the ganav, imi matzea ganav. So you have two brightot here arguing about what the meaning of imi matzea ganav is. Does it mean, literally, you find the thief, who's a third-party thief? Or imi matzea ganav means you found the party who was the shomer to be a thief, and therefore he's paid shnayim. It's premised on the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, "Im lo yimatzei ganav." If the ganav is not found, v'nikra balabait el Elohim, im lo shalach melechet yadob melechet reyu. We'll see in a second. The Gemara is going to darshan that it means he takes a shvuah that he was not sholeach yad. And then we have the psukim that we quoted at the beginning of today's daf. Al kol davar pesha, al ashor, al chamor, al se, al salma, al kol aveda. Sheyomar ki uze ad Elohim yavod dvar shneim, asher shino Elohim yishalem shnayim lereyehu. So twice in these psukim it says yishalem shnayim. Once in the beginning when it says imi matzei ganav, and subsequently there are three psukim which begin right afterwards with im lo yimatzei ganav. Now for both brightot it's obvious, and the Gemara is going to ask this in a second. How do they know this? Im lo yimatzei ganav is talking about a case of toein tanat ganav. It's where the shomer makes a claim of gneva in order to exempt himself, and then he's found to be lying about that, and he is the ganav, yishalem shnayim lereyu, then he pays double. The only question is, the first psukim in there, right beforehand, which says, im yimatzei ganav, is that also similar to the next pasuk talking about toein tanat ganav? Or, is it talking about a case of a regular ganav? And it, within these psukim, we have two different cases. We have a case of ganav and a case of toain, tanat ganav. But the common denominator between them is that the pasuk of v'im lo yimatzei ganav is talking about toain, tanat ganav. And that's what the Gemara asks now. How do you know that? It says, the kulei alma mihat im lo yimatzei ganav, but toain, tanat ganav, k'tiv. My mashma. How do you know, or what is the meaning of that? So Amar Rava, Rava explains it. It's not necessarily compelling, meaning that you don't have to read it this way, but it's clear that they had a mesora to read it this way, and this is how you read it based on that. Im lo yimatze, kemashe amar. But it says in the pasuk, im lo yimatze, it doesn't mean if the ganav is not found, but rather, im lo yimatze, kemashe amar. It's not found like what he said, the shomer who made a claim of gneva. If it's found that what he said is untrue, but he himself, instead, was the one who stole it. He pays twice. So over there, that's the way to read the pasuk, to make it reference the individual as being toain tanat ganav. You might be compelled to explain it this way because of the fact that it says, im lo yitza matzea ganav, yishalem shnayim. Why is he paying double if the ganav was not found? Because we suspect that the shomer himself took it, that's why he's going to pay kefel? That's not enough of a reason to be mechayevim kefel. So it must be a case where he's toin tanat ganav, and that's why we didn't find the ganav, because the shomer himself was the ganav. And then when he's found, he's yishalem shnayim. And so that's why they believe that those second psukim, or that those later psukim, are speaking about a case of toin tanat ganav. So now, im lo yimatzei ganav, everybody reads as toin tanat ganav, and that's the way to read it. The only question is, then the previous pasuk, was that speaking about toin tanat ganav, or speaking about ganav? Uminolan de bishvua. How do you know that it only when the person is toin tanat ganav bishvua that you are chayav? D'tanya. Nikra balabait el Elohim. Lishvua tomer? When it says, Nikra balabait el Elohim, does that mean to take a shvua? Lishvua? Oh, en ol din. How do you know that's for a shvua or is din? Maybe it means to come to adjudicate the case in front of the court, to come to the dayanim. Nikra balabait. The balabait will come el Elohim. Elohim here is dayanim. Not God, but dayanim. It uses the term Elohim, which obviously has tremendous meaning in the context of a court being called Elohim, which is that the concept that we say that when you're in a court and you have the judges there, it's ke'ilu, the Shechina is found there with them, as if God is standing with them, and that's why the litigants have to stand in front of the judges, that's why the judges have to cover their heads and be there be'ema veretet, because of this idea that when a court adjudicates, it's as if they are, quote-unquote, God, the Havdil. And that's why it uses the term Elohim, which is a term that's interchangeable with God and with the Yanim. But here it says, when he comes, Balabait Elohim, the Balabait will come to the Elohim. What does that mean? Does that mean he will appear before the judges to adjudicate the case? And Rashi says, when it comes here to mean din, it doesn't just mean to adjudicate before them, but rather he'll be obligated to pay immediately, that Toin Tanat Ganav would not be a tour for him. Or does that mean that Nikra Balabait, he takes a Shvu'ah? We don't know. Nemar shlichut yad mato, by shomer sachar it says shlichut yad, nemar shlichut yad malo, and by shomer chinam it says shlichut yad. Mala alam neshvua, just like by the shomer sachar it means a shvua, afkan neshvua, so too by shomer chinam it means a shvua. By a shomer sachar it says, ki ten ish al re'eu chamor o shor o sev echo be'ema lishmor, umet o nishba, ein ro'e, shvuat Hashem tiye ben shnehem, im lo shalach yado b'melechet re'eu, v'lakach balav v'lo yishalem. So you see over there, it's clear that means shvuat Hashem. It's talking about a shvua. It says, im lo shalach yado b'melechet re'eu. So if you go back to the parashiyah by shomer chinam, it says, v'nikrav balabait el Elohim, im lo shalach yado b'melechet re'eu. So the im lo shalach yado is similar to the im lo shalach yado by the shomer sachar. And by shomer sachar, where it says, shvuat Hashem tiyeh ben shnehem, so to over here, the nikrav balabait elohim means for a shvua and not for a din. Now, bishlama the mandamar chad beganav vechad betoin tanat ganav. According to the one who says the pasuk of im yimatzei ganav is talking about a regular thief, and im lo yimatzei ganav is talking about toin tanat ganav, hanu dichtivi treik right. That's why you need two psukim. Want to tell you about a ganav pays kefel. Want to tell you that a toin tanat ganav pays kefel. According to the one who says that, they're both speaking about Toein Tanat Ganav, why do you need two psukim to tell you the same din? That Toein Tanat Ganav pays kefil. So Amri, Chad Limute Tanat Aved, he says one of them comes to teach you that a Tanat Aveda will not result in kefil. So the one of them teaches the core din, the core principle that Toein Tanat Ganav is chayev in kefil. The second one comes to teach you only Toein Tanat Ganav is Chayav in Kefil, but Toein Tanat Aved, he says it was lost, he does not pay kefal. According to one who says that one pasuk is about a ganav and one about two tanat ganav, so he doesn't have an extraneous pasuk to come to teach you that only by geneva or two tanat geneva is it true, not by two tanat avad. So where does he learn that from? Mi ganav ha ganav. He learns it out from the fact that it has the hey ayidia by the ganav. The way the Tosfot says is the way we darsh in other places means ha ganav mashma ha miyuchad. The unique, or the special ganav, or meaning the core ganav, the thief, or the core thief, who's the regular ganav. And what it teaches you is that, so ha ganav teaches you that only by a ganav is this true, but nowhere else is that true. By ganav only, and nothing else. So the exclusion of toaintanat avad. L'mandamar tavayu b'toaintanat ganav, d'miyitle toaintanat avad. So he already has a miut for avad, ganav ha ganav, my dorishpe. What does he do with that? I need it for the limud of Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba and Rabbi Yochanan. Tamar Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, to ain't tanat ganav pikadon, mishalem tashlume kefel. Tavachu machar mishalem tashlume arba avacha misha. So I learned out from that to ain't tanat ganav has the same din as a ganav atzmo. That's what it means, a ganav ha ganav. Teaches you that both a ganav and a toain tanat ganav have the same din, and that means that you pay kefel if you stole it. It means you pay four or five times if you stole it and then shechted it or sold it when it's a shor or a set. Even though now it's interesting that each of the two different opinions is using haganav in a different way. One is using haganav as a miut, haganav hamiuchad, to say only ganav and not avad. And the other one is saying haganav is inclusive term to say not only gneva but also toain tanat ganav. Tosfot says over here that many times the limud has to do with the context or the direction of the limud, and therefore the same word or the same haganav can be taken both as a miut or as a ribui. So the Gemara says, that he uses that to teach you that the exclusion of toain tanat avad and not only in the case of toain tanat geneva. Where does he know that din from? We have a juxtaposition of the psukim, according to him. The first pasuk is talking about a regular ganav. The second one is talking about a toaintanat ganav. The juxtaposition of the two makes it into a hekesh. And the hekesh tells me that whatever is true by the ganav is also true by the toaintanat ganav. Now, even though you might have a logical argument to separate between them, and the reason being that toaintanat ganav is only applicable when you take a shvuah. A ganav, on the other hand, is chayav kefal even without a shvuah. So, logically, you could argue that the two should not be correlated, or you should not connect between the two. But a hekesh is a type of limud that ain't meshivin. It's not subject to logical undermining, because the hekesh says that the juxtaposition of these items makes the din this way, irrespective of the logic. And so that's what he says here, that the juxtaposition of the two teach you that din. Bishlam amar chad b'ganav v'cham b'toin tanat ganav shapir. So that makes sense. Where does he know ganav, a regular ganav that you pay kefal? Where does he know that from? If you say learn it out of a kal v'chomer, that a person who claims gneva pays kefal, then certainly the person who steals it himself should have to pay kefal. Then you can only learn as much as the core or the base from which you learn. Malalan by toain tanat ganav, that's only true bishvua. Afkan bishvua. So too over here, by the case of regular geneva, only with a shvua would you be chayav kefel. But without a shvua, you would not be chayav kefel. The answer is, nafkele mitanet debei chizkia. He learns it out from tanet debei chizkia. Now, tanet debei chizkia mentions that there is actually a third pasuk, which the Gemara hasn't addressed yet, but there's a third pasuk by machteret. That says, if he's tunneling into the house, and it's a scenario where the Baal HaBayit faces off with him, comes to stop him, the Baal HaBayit has a right to kill him in that case, because the ganav is not going to let the Baal HaBayit stop him without killing him. So that is the concept or the principle that we have, that call a Baal HaChor Gacha, anybody who comes to kill you, Hashkim or go, you should kill him first. Im Zachar Shemesh Alav, Damim Lo. If it's clear as day, meaning that this individual, this thief that's coming will not kill you, then if you kill and you take the initiative or preemptively kill him, then damim lo, you're murdering. Shalem yishalem im ein lov and im karb gnei veto. Now, if he's caught with as a thief, and then he has to pay, that's what he does. If he can't pay, then he's sold into slavery as an evidi vri for his gneva. And then it says, im him atseit metzebi adoa gneva. If the gneva is found in his hand, mishor ad chamor ad se, chayim shnayim yishalem. He pays double. So there you have another case of kefel where you could be speaking about a gneva or a ganav himself. And that's what it means over here. That Zana Bechizkiah means that he'll learn out of ganav from that pasuk above. There is a deficit in that pasuk, because the pasuk there that speaks about it says, the three pratim that are mentioned there are Mishor, Ad Chamor, Ad Seh, Chayim. It only mentions Balei Chayim. Since it only mentions Balei Chayim, it would be limited then by the case of ganav to learn it from there, because there it mentions only livestock. It does not mention Salma. And that's what the subsequent Breita is going to deal with. There's a Breita upcoming of this, Tana de Bechizkiah, which is going to speak about it, and then the Gemara on tomorrow's daf on the Samach Dalet Amud Aleph will then dissect the Breita in order to understand what it means. And that's what the Gemara will do with in tomorrow's daf when we learn that Breita, discussing what the position of Tana de Bechizkiah is. Well, understand better why they have the pasuk there, and then why we need the other pasukim to help us out with the limud of Gneva. Okay, we're going to stop here, two lines from the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Bet.